Welcome to the debate. What if the reason our macroeconomic systems crash, or, you know, our ecosystems collapse, and even our physical bodies fail, isn't because a specific isolated part broke?
Right.
But because the invisible mathematical geometry connecting those parts just, well, dissolved. We are dissecting a genuinely fascinating and highly controversial text today. From entanglement to governance, the geometry of coherence across scales.
And this material, I mean, it demands a total worldview shift. It argues that reality isn't made of independent objects or variables, but of primary relations.
Exactly. So the central question we are tackling today is this. Is the specific mathematical framework proposed in this text progressing from the finite geometry of the Fano plane all the way to the exceptional E7 invariant? Is that the literal, inescapable architecture of all complex systems?
Oris, does mapping these highly specific algebraic structures onto domains like human governance and clinical physiology, does that risk the very projection error the text warns us against?
I will argue that this mathematical sequence is structurally forced. It represents the literal, unavoidable grammar of coherence across all physical, biological, and social domains.
And I will argue that while the shift from isolated variables to relational networks is profound, treating these exact mathematical structures as the literal causal architecture outside of particle physics is a massive interpretative leap. It should be viewed as a breathtaking heuristic rather than a strict computable reality.
To understand the foundation of this text, we really have to look at how we currently diagnose failure, right? Like whether we are in a hospital ICU or at the Federal Reserve.
We look at variables.
Exactly. We look at variables. We measure a patient's blood pressure, or we measure a nation's GDP. And if the variable's in the right range, we just assume the system is healthy.
Yeah, which we know often fails.
Right, because the core thesis here is that our reliance on variables is structurally incomplete. A system's persistence does not depend on its variables. It depends entirely on relational coherence.
Uh-huh.
And the text proves geometrically that this coherence cannot exist in simple pairs. A pair of elements acting alone has no internal reference to detect its own contradiction.
So it needs a third element.
Precisely. To be internally consistent, a system requires triadic closure. It needs a third element to provide context and basically anchor the relationship.
Well, I come at it from a different way. I find the concept of triadic closure to be an incredibly strong conceptual tool. It's perhaps one of the best ways to visualize why simple cause and effect thinking fails us. But the text doesn't stop at the concept of a triad. It claims that this minimal requirement of closure forces a very specific, inflexible seven-element mathematical structure known as the Fano plane.
Right, the seven primitives?
Yeah. And it goes further, insisting that these seven nodes aren't just abstract points. They represent seven mandatory functional roles for any viable system: constraint, margin, state, disturbance, perception, regulation, and options.
Which is a beautiful mapping.
It is, but I see this as mathematical reification. You are taking the infinite messy complexity of a human body or the socio-political dynamics of a society and, well, forcing them into exactly seven primitives and a 27-dimensional exceptional algebra.
I mean, I'm not convinced by that line of reasoning because the math isn't being applied top-down as a metaphor. It is emerging from the bottom-up requirements of interaction itself.
Okay, how so?
Let's ground this in a physical reality, something tangible like the human endocrine system. Let's look at just one triad within that Fano plane structure.
State, disturbance, and regulation.
Okay, fair enough. If you only have a state, say a patient's baseline heart rate, and a disturbance, like a sudden drop in blood volume, the system just breaks. A line between two points snaps under pressure.
Right. You need a regulatory response.
Exactly. You need regulation, like the adrenal glands releasing epinephrine. That closes the loop, absorbs the disturbance, and stabilizes the state. Every node is completed by a third, forming a closed interlocking geometry.
And if that third node is missing?
If it's missing, or if any of the seven roles degrade, the math proves the system dissolves. It is a fully constrained geometry of viability, not a metaphor.
It is it. Well, it's an elegant way to map biology, certainly. But biology is highly adaptable, whereas the Fano plane is a rigid, finite geometry derived from projective mathematics.
But that geometry...
To treat the E7 invariant as a literal physical property of a patient's health or a government's legitimacy, I mean, it fundamentally misapplies mathematical topology to organic and human agency. We're using a map designed for pure mathematics and claiming the territory of human life perfectly conforms to it.
Those are not static. Geometry alone can't explain interaction.
True. Things move.
Right, which is why the framework doesn't stop at the Fano plane. When you introduce directed interaction, when things start moving and signaling each other in a sequence, the static Fano plane naturally and unavoidably lifts into a higher algebra.
Into the Octonians?
Specifically into the Octonians, yes. And the defining characteristic of Octonian algebra is that it is non-associative.
Meaning the order in which operations occur fundamentally changes the outcome.
Yes. In standard mathematics, if you multiply A times B and then multiply that result by C, it's the exact same as multiplying A by the combined product of B and C.
The grouping doesn't matter.
Exactly. But in octonionic systems, that associativity fails. The grouping changes the reality. The text introduces what mathematicians call the associator to measure this discrepancy.
So non-associativity becomes a metric.
Yes. If different groupings of relations yield different outcomes, the system has a non-zero associator. In this framework, non-associativity isn't a mathematical glitch. It is a built-in diagnostic for relational inconsistency.
Okay.
Let's go back to our patient in the ICU. In endocrinology, the order, timing, and grouping of hormonal signals matter just as much as the isolated presence of the hormones themselves.
Absolutely. Physiological path dependency is very real.
Right. So if the liver, the pancreas, and the adrenal glands release their signals in a conflicting sequence, the pathways produce contradictory outcomes. That is the literal physiological expression of non-associativity. That is disease emerging in the relational composition long before a lab value is flagged as abnormal.
Look, I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that. Let me tell you why. I acknowledge the sheer brilliance of viewing clinical disease as a breakdown in relational sequence rather than just a defective organ. It is a vital paradigm shift for medicine.
It really is.
But does a cascading organ failure truly break down according to the strict, non-commutative rules of Octonian multiplication? You are mapping biochemical feedback loops onto a mathematical structure discovered in the context of pure abstract algebra and particle physics.
It's the same fundamental logic, though.
But in the ICU, the order of hormonal release matters. Yes, but to say that a patient going into septic shock is experiencing literal non-associativity governed by an octonionic oscillator, I mean, that is stretching the formalization to its absolute breaking point.
I disagree.
We are using high-level algebra as a highly sophisticated, beautifully constructed metaphor for things getting out of sync. The human body doesn't have exactly 7 irreducible primitives that multiply like octonions. It has billions of cells, overlapping feedback loops, and chaotic environmental inputs.
I see why you think that, but let me give you a different perspective. You are still looking at the billions of cells. You're looking at the variables.
Well, they exist.
They do, but the text explicitly argues against focusing on them, because the math doesn't care if the node is a single cell, a whole organ, or an entire hospital supply chain delivering the medication. It cares about the relational grammar between the nodes.
Okay, so mapping the functional roles.
Right. The cells and organs map onto the functional roles. The blood volume is the state, the bacterial infection is the disturbance, the immune response is the regulation. The mathematics of non-associativity describe the structural limits of those relationships.
Even if we can't observe them perfectly.
And this brings us to the most vital explanation in the text. Your skepticism about how we could possibly observe these precise mathematical breakdowns is actually the entire point of the material. It explains exactly why this structural degradation is practically invisible to us.
You're referring to the distinction between the base space and the fiber.
Precisely. The text utilizes fiber bundle theory to explain this dynamic. Think of fiber bundle theory like looking at a shadow cast on a wall.
Okay.
Everything we can measure with our standard tools, the observable metrics, the species counts in a rainforest, the vital signs on an ICU monitor, the GDP of a nation, these all live in what topology calls the base space.
They are mere projections.
They are the shadows. But the actual constraints, the adaptive capacities, the interlocking triads we've been discussing, those live in the hidden relational configuration called the fiber.
And because multiple different configurations in the fiber can cast the exact same shadow in the base space,
We are blind to the system's actual health.
That is the mechanism of silent failure. Let's look at our ICU patient again. You walk in, and their blood pressure, the base space projection, looks perfectly normal. 120 over 80.
The doctor assumes the patient is stable.
Right. But what the doctor cannot see is the hidden fiber. The patient's system is silently burning through every ounce of its redundant margins, overriding constraints, and hyperactivating regulatory hormones just to project that 120 over 80.
Wow.
The relational structure is collapsing, but the projection remains stable right up until the moment the margin is exhausted and the patient goes into sudden cardiac arrest.
You know, on this point, the text and I are in profound alignment. I completely concede that this projection error, mistaking the base space for the reality of the fiber, is the most consequential insight of the entire material.
It changes everything about how we measure success.
Treating projections as reality is the defining mistake of modern governance and modern medicine. It is exactly why we optimize for economic indicators like GDP, while systematically destroying the ecological and social fiber that supports it. We are staring at a stable shadow on the wall while the object casting it is catching fire.
Then you must see why the mathematical structure is so necessary. It maps the fire we cannot see.
That's a compelling argument, but have you considered the cost of how the text formalizes this? The author goes much further than just giving us the brilliant insight that hidden structure matters.
They formalize it through sheaf theory.
Exactly. They define systemic collapse purely as cohomological obstruction. Now, for anyone not steeped in algebraic topology, a cohomological obstruction basically means you have a bunch of local pieces that work perfectly fine on their own, but when you try to glue them together into a global whole, they structurally reject each other.
Yes.
Imagine building a complex machine where every individual gear is flawless, but the teeth are mathematically misaligned so the machine cannot turn.
Which is a perfect description of systemic collapse.
Conceptually, yes, but my caution is that this hyperformalization might actually blind us in practice.
How so?
Well, if we replace clinical vitals or economic indicators with a topological abstraction like cohomological obstruction, aren't we just swapping one inadequate projection for another that is infinitely harder for a practitioner to actually measure? How does a doctor standing at a bedside measure the cohomology of a patient's endocrine sheath? How does a central banker calculate the non-trivial bundle of a collapsing housing market? If the math cannot be computed with real-world data, it remains an abstract analogy.
That's an interesting point, though I would frame it differently. The text does not ask the bedside doctor to sit down with a whiteboard and calculate sheaf cohomology while the patient is crashing.
No, but it relies on that math.
The mathematics serve to prove structurally why the doctor's isolated vital signs are failing them. It proves that local consistency, like a healthy heart or healthy lungs, does not guarantee global coherence if the relational gluing fails.
True.
It shows us that pushing on a variable in the base space without understanding the fiber is dangerous. Which brings us to the ultimate measure of viability presented in the text, the E7 quartic invariant.
The top of the exceptional mathematical ladder.
Yes. As you move up from the triadic closure of the Fano plane, through the non-associativity of the Octonians, up into the higher dimensional algebras, you eventually arrive at the E7 invariant.
Right.
This is a function of degree 4 that remains fundamentally unchanged across all valid relational transformations. It is the ultimate structural constraint. It is the absolute measure of a system's ability to sustain coherence while undergoing immense change.
Okay, but we still can't see it.
Because we cannot fully observe the fiber, and because we know that traditional control based on pushing variables is doomed to accelerate incoherence, the text demands a radical shift in how we intervene. It concludes we must adopt Wu Wei, the philosophy of action without forcing.
Action without forcing.
Yes. We must align with the system's structural constraints, preserving the E7 invariant, rather than trying to force observable outcomes in the base space.
I profoundly appreciate the ethical and practical shift from control to navigation. The paradox of control, that the harder we try to aggressively force complex systems into submission, the more fragile we make them, is an essential truth.
Exactly.
Pumping a patient full of pressors to force a blood pressure number often destroys their peripheral tissue. Wu Wei is a beautiful, deeply wise conceptual endpoint for this framework.
but notice what just happened in the argument.
What?
We moved from strict algebraic topology to ancient Chinese philosophy.
Well, we move there because the mathematics explicitly demand it. The math proves the direct control is structurally impossible because the fiber is hidden and the projections are incomplete. It's a mathematical proof of a philosophical concept.
But the text itself introduces the EH structure as the limit of formalization. It explicitly warns that at these high dimensions, structure becomes so complex that interpretation must be applied with extreme care.
Yes, it requires care.
Right. And if the E7 invariant cannot be directly measured in a real-world economy or a living patient but can only be inferred, then practicing Wu Wei relies entirely on human perception. It relies on qualitative judgment.
It relies on structural sensing.
Which is a deeply human art, not a mathematical formula. If I am a policymaker trying to practice Wu Wei in the middle of a supply chain crisis, I am not calculating the quartic invariant of a Friedenthal triple system.
No, you aren't.
I am using my human judgment to sense where the system is strained, where redundancy is lost, and where margins are depleted. Therefore, the complex mathematics, the exceptional Lie groups, the Octonians, the Fano planes, they are ultimately a philosophical framing device.
I disagree.
They are a poetic mechanism to teach ecological and medical humility. They remind us not to optimize the base space, but they are not a computable physics equation for human society.
I'm not convinced by that line of reasoning because you are equating unmeasurable with our current tools to metaphorical. Just because a central banker cannot easily compute the E7 invariant of global logistics today does not mean the supply chain isn't literally governed by that structural constraint.
But without measurement.
Before we had the instruments to measure quantum entanglement, it was still the literal architecture of the universe. The universe didn't wait for our tools to catch up.
Okay, that's a fair analogy.
The text shows us that the same invariant geometry that governs the fundamental symmetries of particle physics is required for any system to persist. If an economy lacks triadic closure, it will fail. If an organism violates its invariant constraints, it will collapse. The math is the literal skeleton. Wu Wei is the muscle.
Let me summarize my stance on this because I really want to be entirely clear about my deep respect for this work.
Please do.
The text provides what I believe is a breathtaking intellectual diagnosis of modern systemic failures. The shift from independent variables to relational closure is a paradigm shift we desperately need across every discipline.
We agree on that.
The concept of the projection error, that we mistakenly optimize the base space of GDP or blood pressure while the invisible fiber of true relational capacity burns, is an invaluable lens. It perfectly explains why our highly measured, data-driven world feels so incredibly fragile.
But the mathematical formalization?
Treating biological, economic, and governance systems as literal Octonian algebras and exceptional Lie groups crosses the line from structural necessity to mathematical poetry. When the text claims that a failing government policy is the literal manifestation of a non-zero associator, it is mistaking the map for the territory. It is a stunning metaphor. It teaches us profound humility. It proves conceptually why we cannot force complex systems without breaking them. But it remains a heuristic metaphor.
And I will summarize my position by returning to the rigor of the text. The mathematical progression from the Fano plane up to E7 is not poetry. It is the absolute floor of what is required for any system to avoid dissolution.
The floor of viability.
Yes. If a system must persist, it must have triadic closure. If it has interaction, it must face non-associativity. If it has local parts, it must overcome cohesomological obstruction to act as a whole. These are not choices made by a poet. They are constraints forced by the logic of existence.
It's a heavy claim.
It is, but by recognizing that ecology, medicine, and governance share this exact mathematical skeleton, we finally have the rigorous grammar needed to shift human action from the destructive control of variables to the preservation of true relational coherence.
Well, regardless of where one lands on the literal versus metaphorical divide, this framework invites a much deeper, necessary exploration into how we govern ourselves, our institutions, and our planet. The idea of looking at reality exclusively through the lens of relationships, rather than isolated objects, is a perspective that could fundamentally change how we interact with the world.
And that is exactly where we will leave it for you, the listener. Are the mathematics of coherence a literal architecture binding the universe together, or are they a profound guiding philosophy warning us against our own hubris? Next time you look at a simple diagnostic, whether it's an economic chart showing steady growth or a medical monitor showing a stable heart rate, ask yourself, are you actually seeing the health of the system, or are you just staring at a shadow in the base space while the fiber burns?